This morning's message, Be Careful What You Ask For, Part 2. I don't know if
we know we could hear these sermons that we miss online on sermon audio,
then we can go back and hear any sermons that that the church have put together in time.
And hopefully in the upcoming year, we'll be able to put the notes and outlines on the web to where we could follow the notes that I've accomplished or what I've read during the week and studied and give you just a whole thing of what I've done that week. But in this morning's message, Be Careful What You Ask For, Part 2, we're looking at the pronouncement of God's judgment of what He's about to do to the people, because they had sent Jeremiah in duplicity to ask the Lord what it was that He wanted them to do. Now, I've told you about praying to God, about asking God, or about coming into the church, or living as a Christian, and that's really not in your heart, that God hadn't given you a heart to follow Him, and that you're not serious about this. That's why in this coming time, there's a lot of people with a lot of smiles on their face, and God's going to wipe them off. Because you're in a comfort zone or comfort level, and you think you have God fooled, and you're deceiving yourself, and that mourning's going to be turned into affliction. He said, be afflicted and mourn. Because that's the only way He's going to get some of His people to realize this is serious. Christianity is serious. Religion is serious. They didn't believe that. They were idolaters. They were rebellious and disobedient. And they, just like the people are today, don't believe God's word. Even though they go to church, and He told Ezekiel that same thing. They'll come into the church and say, I want to hear what He says. It sounds good, but we won't do that. We won't live according to that way. And they'd ask Jeremiah, go pray to the Lord, and ask Him. All the time, they know that sin was in their heart, and they love sin, and that they will go to Egypt. Don't ask God to do something for you and get right up off your knees and do contrary to what you've asked God to do. He said, don't take My name in vain. Don't ask Me things that you don't want Me to do. Because then I'll turn and I'll fight against you. And I'll destroy you from the face of this earth. When I bring death into your family, when I bring calamity into your life, then you'll come to Me and pray. I won't hear you then. Because when I told you to pray to Me in all sincerity and seek Me, you thought it was funny. You thought that I could be mocked. You thought that you could come to Me any way that you please. In rebellion, He told Samuel to tell Saul that rebellion is the same as the sin of witchcraft. It's the exact same. Saul wasn't obedient to do what the Lord say do. But he was like a lot of us today, and like a lot of the children of God was then, that he was going to do it his way. He was going to do religion his way. That he did. I did what you told me to do. I saved all the best for you. Yeah, but you didn't do completely what I asked you to do, Saul. What is this bleeding of the sheep? And this is Amalekite here. Didn't I tell you to destroy Amalek? Didn't I tell you to destroy everything there? Well, I saved the best for you. Saved a little tithe offering for you. I saved a little assembling together for you. But that ain't what I told you to do. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And rebellion, not doing what the Lord tell you to do, is worse than witchcraft, he says. It's worse than idolatry. If you had a household god, you know, a lot of people have crosses around their neck. They have crosses and all things, types of statues and things. Beads they pray to and all these things. That's witchcraft. That's idolatry. And they've always been rebellion. It's rebellion in the forefathers. All those were rebellious, and it's still a rebellious nation. They're still doing the same thing. Still worshiping things, holidays, all these other things instead of God. Their hearts are divided. That's a divided and unstable heart. And they came to Jeremiah. I'm not going back over the 42nd chapter. We see where the people came to him in Acts and say, all that you say, they came and say, pray to God for us, and all that you say do, we'll do it. Whether it be good or bad, we'll do it. Whatever you tell us to do, God. That's a pretty big thing. That's what the children of Israel did. That was their sin. They had said to God during Moses' time, whatever the Lord tells us to do, we'll do it. That didn't stop there. During Mary's time, at the wedding, what did Mary tell the disciples when he said about the water to wine? She said, whatever he say do, do it. Whatever God's telling you to do, do it. It's not your reasoning and rationale like Saul that I saved the best for you. I think it's this way. They were thinking that they were going to Egypt and they wanted God to comply. And if they would seem religious and come to God, that maybe God would answer them the way they wanted him to answer. God in their image and likeness. They had determined to go to Egypt long ago. You determined to do what you want to do. I keep using my diet as an illustration along with this message. If I pray to God and say, God, I want to lose weight this year. Help me, Lord God, to do those things to lose weight. If God through my doctor tell me, and the doctor tell me, say, well, look, this is a diet you should try here. It's a pretty good diet. And I pick up that man's book and it's the 17-day diet. And I don't follow that book, but I say, well, look, I do better if I eat this, I do this. And I don't follow what that book says. Can I fault the author of that book and say that don't work? My brother asked me what was going on with me. And I said, well, I've been following the 17-day diet. He said, well, let me see the book. And I gave it to him for a few days, and he was looking at it. And I called him back for the book, and he his wife. I say, she does? He said, it's here somewhere. So I paid maybe $15 for mine, but she had bought hers at Walmart for $23. But that don't work, though. It doesn't work. She hadn't lost anything. He hadn't lost anything. They had bought exercise equipment, different things for the house or whatever. But I had lost a good bit of pounds on that. 20, 30 pounds. But see, it's that they doing what they want to do along with the book. Now they can dismiss the author of the book to say that don't work. See, that's what we do with God. God tell us exactly what he want us to do in his word. And we do what we want to do along with what we think that he should want us to do. And then we expect him to comply with that. And you think it's going to work then? Salvation's going to work then for you? So what happens? Jeremiah's upset with them, but he knew all the time how they were because he had developed discernment. This was Jeremiah's last mission. Some people say in history, what they know in history, that Jeremiah was stoned to death in Egypt by his own people for speaking just like I'm doing now, for speaking the way he did. He was a suffering servant. They never did believe anything he said. But they would come to him in action. Because they see what he was saying would come true. He was a suffering servant. You remember he was thrown in the dungeon and he was all these things he had suffered? That's why when the people came to Jesus and Jesus said, who do people say I am? That you remember some said Jeremiah and some say Elijah and some say that prophet? The reason they said that he may have been Jeremiah because he was suffering the same way Jeremiah had been being beaten, was suffering and going on, and didn't seem like his mission was accomplished and what it's supposed to accomplish because Jeremiah only had two or three people following him. That was Baruch and Ebed-Melech. So it wasn't a whole lot of people that truly trusted and was, but they seen the suffering and things. And that's what's wrong today. Most of us don't want to suffer. Most of us don't want to go through anything and make the sacrifice and deny self. This morning when I went to get those donuts for my wife, I said, this should give her a little energy, and she'd like them hot. And I seen the sign, hot donuts. I said, give me two of those glaze and one lemon. I took them to the house and gave her a big glass of cold milk and told them. But see, all the time, it wasn't too much resistance for me not eating one of the donuts. Because I'm not saying that the old man is not there, because there is that temptation to get him. I seen him coming in the door. There is that temptation. But I know that it's not fitting my ultimate goal. Because according to the man that when I prayed to God to help me to do this, I'm not like a lot of people. We shouldn't be like other people. We ask God to do something for us, and we think it's automatic that God's just going to anoint us and heal us, or that these things will come about by fiat. It is something we have to do. And the thing is, I trust that God will bring me to that point that I've asked Him to do. And I have faith in Him. Faith in Him. That He works through people. That's the instrument. That doctor that told me that, that pointed me to that book, that doctor in that book told me that for the first 17 days, what he's doing is purging sugar out of my system so it won't store, and that helps to purge it, accelerates my weight loss. So during that time, I have to deny sugary sweets. I have to deny foods that store sugar, that would store sugar in my body. If I'm to say, well, this book was to work right and wouldn't false accuse or slander this doctor, because he said it would work. Now, ultimately, by faith in God, that was the route I followed, and I'm losing the weight. I just pray to God, and I'm praying to God. God, know what I need, Lord. You know, you be knowing what I need before I ask for it. Because now I need the finances to buy me new clothes. Because they're all falling off me. I have to wrap the belt several times. My pants are getting to where they're falling. My neck, the collar, is no longer 19 and a half. The doctor said, look like you're getting skin in the face. He said, look, your cholesterol is good. Don't get back on the cholesterol medicine, because, see, I'd read with cholesterol medicine, any statins, anything that you take, they cause joint pain or whatever. And he said, well, good, we will cut that pill out. Don't keep taking it. He said, the next time, if you've lost this much, we're going to do something with the blood pressure pill. Because I'm asking God that this year, I don't want to be on blood pressure medication. He said, your blood pressure is low now. He said, and next time I think I'm going to have to take you off this, because you may not need that. But God's working. God's working in my life to do it, even though it's in my day-to-day life through the way I'm living. I'm not looking through fiat for to wake up one morning I'm scared. I got to work at it. I got to deny myself. I got to say no to the donut. I got to say no. I brought a coupon here for one of y'all for churches. I'm not going to despise others for something that I have to stay focused on the go. If they will come to Jeremiah, and this is why Jeremiah was upset at it, and I said it was his last time. Because God's going to at least give him the power to be able to go to Egypt. They thought they were getting something when they took everybody and took Jeremiah to Egypt. They took Jeremiah to Egypt so that he could pronounce judgment on them. He was the one that's going to pronounce judgment. These verses, that the chapters that we're in now, 45, these will be some of the last words of Jeremiah. After those other chapters, 45 and so forth, those are appendix. In other words, that's added on. This is stuff, I told you it wasn't in chronological order. This is stuff that happened during the time, after chapter 45 or so. After that, that's stuff that Jeremiah had preached to the preachers and the people during this period of time. We'll go in and go fill in some of what was going on in his preaching and things, the reason they did stone him. But this is his last words in chapter 44. This is the end of what you're hearing of Jeremiah. But they had came to him and asked him to pray for him. And they had a divided heart. Listen to what they say. Verse 20. That you deal, Jeremiah, the 42nd chapter, in the 20th verse, he says, for you have dealt deceitfully against your own lives. For you sent me to the Lord your God, saying, pray for us to the Lord our God, and whatever the Lord our God says, declare it us unto us, and we will do it. That's the way it went. In the King James, it says the same thing, except for that word dissemble. It says, for ye dissemble in your hearts when you sent me unto the Lord your God. That means, in other words, you were using deceit or trickery. You feigned piety. In other words, you wanted to act so like you were so spiritual. You came into the church like you wanted to follow God so much, but you didn't have that in your whole heart. You were honoring him with your mouth, but your heart was far from it. That's why Jeremiah is about giving you a new heart, a circumcision. He's giving you a new heart because that old heart has to go. That old stony heart has to go. You did this under the guise of saying you could deceive me. Never go to the man of God. Never go to God's people thinking that you can deceive them and you have a duplicitous heart. I was talking to that young man that I told y'all the other day that were cutting my hair. He has problems, and I think he's going to be a good man. Hopefully, I didn't invite him here. I told him he needs to get into a church. He needs to hear the word of God. But he called Harris the other day and said, well, I need to talk back with him because it's something that he's saying, and it's something in what he was saying and how he said it was there something about him. I need to get in touch with him. Hopefully God touches life. Now, I don't know where God has him as what foe, who he has him under. But God's going to save his own people. So what happens is that in this deceit, they declared and asked, and it wasn't of faith. They wasn't asking in faith because they were afraid, and God knew they were afraid, and he had told them, say, be not afraid of the king of Babylon. Because I'm going to give you favor with him, and I'm going to not let him do you anything. I'm going to cause him to bless you. I'm going to bless you. They had the promises of God, but he also told them the consequences if they didn't listen. They were rebellious people. Their wives were stronger than they were. That was the major problem. But then, you know, when God's, it's just like what's going on in New Jersey. Normally what goes on with a bunch of crooks is that the husband knew the wife wasn't quite right. The wife knew the husband wasn't quite right. But what happens is, when judgment comes, what happened with Adam and Eve? Did they say, well, I'll take the blame for this? Both of them tried to accuse somebody else. Believe me, you might have done all you wanted to for your wife, but when God comes upon her, she will point back out at you and call you the devil. You caused her to do that. And God's going to take her word for it because it was you. It was your weakness. He told Adam, no, because you listened at him. He told Abraham, because you listened at him. It was because Samson listened at him. You know I told you different. The woman was deceived. The man was in transgression. Read it in Timothy. The woman was deceived, but the man knew. When God comes, he's going to destroy all the men. The only one, the remnant that got out of this, because they were all a bunch of rebels, they hadn't listened to God in the first place. And they came to him and asked him these things and asked him to declare all this on us. And you're not going to do that. If I was going to do on this diet, if I wasn't willing to just stop eating, and believe me, that wasn't, you know, the best thing that I saw. But I know I was messing my life up. I was gaining so much weight, just kept gaining and going on. And I'm talking like I'm skinny, and I'm not. I'm still got all that weight. But what it is, I couldn't do this myself. And that's the problem is, a lot of us know what's best for us. You don't want nobody else to know what's best for you. You just like your child. You know, children know what's best for them. Their parents don't know nothing. The parents are stupid. The parents hadn't been through anything. Mama, I'm grown. I can do this myself. Daddy, you don't know. And daddy, mama is seasoned. When they come back and say, well, I was wrong. Well, we're not going to gloat over that because God does us the same way. We think we know it all. We don't listen to that when God tells us to do something. We're not following God completely. See, but that's what we have to learn. To deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow after him. See, that's why we come here today, is that we're not worthy. We didn't examine ourselves and say, we can't do it. We need to eat this bread and drink that wine because we're not worthy. We need you in us, Christ. And through Christ, I could do all things. But still, self is saying, you know what's good for you. they were trying to give my wife some blood pressure medicine or whatever, and she was saying how you know, her sugar's always kind of high or whatever. And I'm sitting there, and what she know or whatever, I'm saying, is this part of the problem that psychologically she thinks she know how to manage this? Or is that if that would get right, or she would allow him to let that get where it should be or whatever, and stop self-medicating herself the way she feel or whatever. See, life is not about feelings and emotions. That's what God wants us to get past, is feelings and emotions. See, that's why a lot of us don't do the things that we should be doing, is because we feel our children not going to like us no more. A lot of us leave the churches we in. My mother was about to do that when I started ministering and everything and preaching. And man, I'm glad. Not that I'm glad that she passed or whatever, but God moved her out of my life, because some of the things that I was doing, she was forsaking that she knew was right and that she stood for, and that I had found this new religion, but I didn't know this religion had kinks in it. I didn't know that this religion had those kinks in it. I used to be under the Pentecostal banner. Jesus this and Jesus that. And she had told me one day, well, it doesn't say pray to Jesus. It said pray our Father, pray to God. You pray to God. But see, in this oneness doctrine, I had did and said in Jesus, in everything in Jesus' name. The oneness gospel. But see, when I started really down that road, and my mama wasn't here anymore. My mama was right here. My mama was in my mind, in my heart. I carried her there, and I was crying. Mama, I'm wrong, because Jesus said, when you pray, pray our Father. He's your Father now. You pray our Father. You see, because Jesus is a co-heir with us. And if he's a co-heir with us, he said, now you can pray our Father, which art in heaven. See, because he's our brother. That's who Jesus is. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, anything you ask the Father in my name. So I do put in the name of Jesus Christ. Because the reason I'm doing this, my brother told me this. My Lord and God, my Lord and Savior told me this. And I believe in him. I believe he's the only one and true God. Now that's confusing a lot of people there, because I didn't say God the Father, right? But he told me, if I've seen the Father, if I've seen him, I've seen the Father. I have to take Jesus at his word. Because God says, in him, the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. So as a man telling them that, they should have believed Jeremiah what he was telling them. And he had told them what God said. He could make book on that. They could make book on that, because he didn't joke with them. That's why God says, no jesting or foolish talking. That's why I tell people, I don't joke and jest. Because we don't know when to take you serious. We don't know when your words are just joking. He tells us, no foolish talking, no jesting. A man of God has to be that way. My children getting really serious, because I had been telling them their mother was sick. Now they realize how sick she was. And you know, they so empathetic with me and with her. Because, see, sometimes we don't realize how serious life can be, and a parent is not always. That parent is not made to live all the time. That's why that parent points you toward God. Because he'll be with you always. He'll be with you always. One day, you know, you go to your mother and she's not going to be there. You need somebody to lean on. Jesus said, you can lean on me. You're going to look for Father, and then your brothers and sisters will start past. And you're going to look around, there's nobody to lean on. Who are you going to lean on then? You need to be learning to lean on Jesus. Doesn't the Williams brother, that's why I wanted to buy her that album. It's a lot I wish I'd have done for them. And my children seen that thing, it just explodes in me. I had to cry last night. I had to cry. They came by the house, and my other son that had been at the hospital all the time, they're taking turns staying at night and everything. Wonderful kids. And they have a whole life ahead of them. And they say, well, look, I had cooked some of that deer meat, and different things. People were saying how good it was. Well, why don't we get together and have a big thing, and I sell some of this just for the help y'all doing this time. I said, well, no, son, God has blessed us. God has set this time here. That I told my wife, I said, don't worry about going back to work right now. God coincides things to work together for good. All things work together for good for the Lord. So I said, well, they said, well, I know you're going to need some help or whatever. Yesterday morning, we looked in the bank and no money in there. The check, she said, well, I thought I had a check coming. I said, well, no, you did. Been off the last 2 or 3 weeks. They're supposed to be going to file you disability, but that takes a few weeks to kick in. Lo and behold, yesterday afternoon I came from up here or whatever, and I was doing something in there. The check, the amount was in there, was more than her check normally be. And I said, honey, did you look at your bank account? Did they tell you that the money is in there? My sons came by. I said, Dad, what you doing? I said, I was just laying up here. You need to get out of the house. Come on, let's go to the academy. My son bought me all the workout equipment, you know, the stuff I need. Say, you need some gloves, you need some more shorts, you know, and bought all that. God is good. He's good all the time. We don't know how he's going to work and when he's going to work. Lord God, he's good. If we would obey him, he'll bless us. But if we disobey God, the same person, the same thing, the ones I have to tell y'all this, those that have been in this church, there are many that left this church. Usually you have to come back to the same jurisdiction for judgment under that judge. If I have to stand and declare God's judgment to them, I still have to do the whole judgment, because if they left and God sent them back, just like he sent Jeremiah back, and Jeremiah, listen to what Romans says. But the man who doubts has misgivings or uneasy conscience about eating, then eats perhaps because of you, stands condemned before God. Because he is not true to his convictions, and he does not act from faith. Whatever does not originate and proceed from faith is sin. Whatever is done without conviction of its approval by God is sin. If God hadn't convicted you, don't do it just for show. Don't come and ask God or come to the church or make a big facade about things. A lot of people come, oh, I'm going to stay with you. Well, that's not going to help then. As my mother used to tell me, give me my roses while I'm alive. Son, I thank y'all for buying this for me, for doing this for me. I think me and my wife thank y'all so much, and it's your mother, and y'all will say, I know I don't have to thank you because we're your parents and you're doing it. But no, I have to personally do this. I may not have to do it, but this is the way God has made me, that I'm so proud of y'all that you do these things. That's why he said that if you honor your father and mother and sisters, that you'll be blessed. That's why he says your days will be long. Your parents know you didn't did all you can. I wouldn't want my son, when I get ready to leave, I told you, when they was operating on me and I had cardiac arrest and I had blood clots and things, and I was about to go, they said. But they rushed my wife back and my son was there. That same son that did all this for me at that time, I said, son, don't let them put me on life support. Don't let them put me on life support. If I go, I go. If I go, I go. I don't want my children tied to a bed and I'm about to get out of here. They put me in a hospice center or whatever and they got to waste time coming by there. I've lived my life. I've done what God asked me to do. And each day I do much as I can for God. And so I don't want you to go back. Don't live your life. My life is over. If it's time to go, it's time to go. I don't need you sitting here. I know you love me. Go on with your life. A lot of people expend the funds and the family and everything for what? A few more hours, a few more days. If you didn't live for him then, that week, that month, that year ain't going to make no difference. You wait till you can't serve God and then you want everybody around with a sad, long face. That's why a lot of the funerals where they say, rejoice, he's going on to the Lord. Paul said he didn't know whether it was going to be better for what? For that, for him to depart and be there with him. You live every day for God to the fullness, and that's why the saints don't fear the grave. They don't fear death. God has took the sting out of it. He's took the victory away. We've already won the victory. We've already won the victory. I thought I would be fall apart at my mother's throne. But I said, Lord, she's not going to suffer anymore now. I know that this is that. And you know, he gives you strength during those times. Because trouble don't last always. But see, they were looking for time in Egypt. They were looking for pleasure of the flesh. They were looking for pleasures of the flesh. And they were honoring Jesus with their mouth. This is what he says. He says, in Matthew, the 15th chapter, for the sake of your tradition, the rules handed down by your forefather, you have set aside the word of God, depriving it of all force and authority and making of none effect. You act like the world. You run around here wheezing and crying and whatever, and you act like it's no hope. And the Christian, the people see you like that, and they don't want your God. Because you're worried about what's coming up on the earth. You're worried about what's happening to you. And he told you, see that you be not troubled by all these things. That it won't come nigh you. But now you are living from hand to mouth. You're living from paycheck to paycheck. And you worried to death. And he tell you, be not worried. Don't worry about these things. And they see you and people knowing if you're a hypocrite. Just like Jeremiah knew they was a hypocrite. He knew they wasn't going to do it. But as Paul said, I hadn't failed to tell you these things. So you took in all the power out of God's word about honoring your parents and doing these things because you're looking at it for financial ways. He said, you pretenders, you hypocrites. Admirably and truly did Isaiah prophesy when he said, these people draw near me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are off and are far away from me. I don't have their heart. They're sitting in here thinking something else. They hear what I'm saying, but that's not where their heart is. Your heart's, that's where your treasure is, where your heart is. Those two go together. Are you thinking about yourself, your pleasure, your wife, your children, your life? Or are you thinking about the things of God? That's what should come first. Denial of self. Uselessly, they worship me. Uselessly. He say, in vain do they worship me, teaching for commandments the doctrine of me. And Jesus called the people into him and said, listen and grasp and comprehend this. It is not what goes into the mouth of a man that makes him unclean or defiled, but what comes out of the mouth that makes a man unclean and defiles him. By coming up and saying anything and allowing anything to proceed from what you... Do you think about what you say? Do you think about vows that you make? He says, then the disciples came and said to him, do you know what the Pharisees, that they are displeased and offended and indignant at what they heard you say? Oh, these religious people are offended by what I'm saying, huh? That offends the church when you tell them, I don't want to hear your testimony. I don't want to hear what you think or your opinion. Because he knew their hearts. And it offended him because Jesus was telling him about these things. He answered, he says, every plant which my heavenly Father had planted will be torn up by the roots. Everybody in this church, that is not true. If you come in here with this mealy mouth and trying to fool me, and trying to fool God, and trying to fool each other, God's going to hew you down at the root. You better start living what you say you live. You better stop lying. Don't come in here and lie. Don't lie nowhere yet. The Bible says lie not to one another. Oh, but it was just a little white lie. It was just a lie is a lie. That's just like disobedience is just the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is. He says, let them alone and disregard them. They are blind guides and teachers. And if a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall in the ditch. So, Jesus went on to say these things to them because of what comes out of the heart. And like I said, they were trying to deceive him and con Jeremiah into thinking that they were all so pious and could do what God asked them to do. It would have been better if they hadn't said nothing to him at all. Go on and go to Egypt if they was going to go. Don't come asking me what to do and then I tell you what to do and then you go do something else anyhow. What you asked me for anyhow? You wasted both our time. Be careful of what you say. The good man, from his inner treasure, from his heart, from within, comes forth good things, good sayings, pleasing things. As I tell my children, they were true in heart in what they were saying. That's different from not having the ability to do that, though. You see what I'm saying? They wasn't in a feigned religion. They were in what they were and what they truly are. That's what you want to catch a person. That's why it says publicans and harlots to go in before we do. See, because they might not have had God's true insight into this, but like God said, he'll give us favor with those that don't know. He gave them favor with Babylon. He would have given them favor with Babylon. And they would have gave unto them just like those coming to me and give unto me. God will give unto you if you try to start trusting him. But if you trying to grasp in at straws and things going on, God's putting those roadblocks up. He's trying to get your attention that you're getting way off the path. You're getting way off the path, and now you're using deceit to try to get someone to help you back on the path. You're building with wood, hay, and stubble. That's not going to work. Don't try to deceive with deception that the people of God. He said, but I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give account for every idle word that they speak. Every idle word. Every idle word you have to give account for. So shouldn't we watch what we say? Shouldn't we just be slow to speak and quick to hear? He says, keep your foot or give your mind to what you're doing when you go to the house of God. When you go into the house of God, think about it. He says, for to draw near to hear and obey is better than to give the sacrifice of food. To ignorant to know what they are doing is evil. Don't come in the church. Don't draw near to God. If you have aught against your brother, get right with your brother, then come to God. Don't leave out of here and then go take up the matter after then. That's why Cain's offering wasn't accepted. His heart wasn't right. He had to get right with Abel, but he still was wanting to murder Abel. And he was giving an offering to God. God could accept that offering. He said, if you do it well, won't your offering be accepted? It wasn't in what you were giving. It was in the heart that you were giving it in. Be not rash with your mouth, and let not your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes with much business, painful and effort, and fool's voice with many words. This is the Ecclesiastes. This is the wise man that ever was that's saying this. This is Solomon, the fifth chapter from the first through the seventh verse. He's saying, be not rash with your mouth, for a dream comes with much business and painful effort and a fool's voice with many words. So you daydreaming, you thinking that if I go in here and do it this way, it's going to happen this way. If we go down to Egypt, we're going to have food. We're not going to have to worry about the king coming to destroy us. We're not going to have to worry about it. Well, you daydreaming. You believe in these things going to happen. It's going to be error. That's not the way it's going to turn out. You think that your words of deception, that God is mocked. God is not outwitted. He's not outfoxed. He knows what you're up to before you do it. He knows the end from the beginning. So you're not supposed to get right with self. Examine yourself before you come unto the Lord. Now don't do that if you're not worthy and that you don't think that God knows. That's what taking this means is that God knows I don't know. That I examine myself and I'm not worthy. But that he is worthy and he is what makes me worthy. He says, when you vow a vow or make a pledge to God, do not put off paying it. For God has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than you should make a vow and not pay it. Do not allow your mouth to cause your body to sin. Do not say before the angels or the priests, the messengers of God, that it was an error or mistake. I'm sorry. Sorry don't shine my shoes. Sorry doesn't make it any better. Sorry just means that you're still doing what you shouldn't be doing. Sometimes you will have to grow up and stop doing those things. You have to start understanding that there are consequences to what you do. My kids tell me they're sorry a lot of times. And I'm glad that you're sorry that now you understand that it was wrong. But see, the cat is out the bag. The deed is done. There's nothing I can change. If you go out and get pregnant or something, that child is here. You go out and kill somebody. You might have not meant to do it, but you were with the wrong crowd and it was an accident. This came about because of that. But there's nothing I can do. Now you got to face the consequences. We don't like to face the consequences. There's a lot of people that say, oh, now I'm a Christian or whatever. Yeah, but you still were driving drunk and kill somebody. You got to face the consequences of your sin. See, that's what we don't want. That's why we come and pray to God. We are afraid of the consequences. We don't want to pay the price for doing what's wrong. We don't want to pay the price for disobeying God, rebelling against God. That's why they want old cushy Jesus, another Jesus. They want a Jesus that doesn't discipline, that you come into the church, it's all going to be right, buddy coming, everybody's happy, godliness is gained. No, you'll have to go the way of suffering. God's going to chasten you. And these people didn't want chastening from the Lord. They didn't want to face Babylon. They didn't want to face the Chaldean. They didn't want to go through what God was. How many of you don't want to go through what God's telling you to go through? You want to go through it the way you want to go through it. And you want Him to go through it with you. He's not going to let you drag Him down. He's not going to go in the darkness. He forsook His only Son. He said, why hast thou forsaken me? God can't go into death with you. He's not going to go in the darkness. In Him is no darkness. It's no shadow of turning. It's nothing but light in God. And to have fellowship with God, you have to remain in the light of God. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. You stay in that light. And that light in you, abide in that light. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, what does Jesus come back and tell you after Solomon was saying this? See, that's where we get determinism from. That's what America is. And that's what man say. And a lot of times I told Brother Dent, I say, well, look, I'm going to start working out with you. We'll go work out, but I'm not going to be able to go all the time. I say, I'm not going to be able to go at the same time or whatever. See, because what it is, a lot of people like to vow and say, well, I gave my word. What is your word? My word is nothing. My righteousness is filthy rags. And a lot of people hurt other people, hurt their family, hurt trying to be a man of their word. But the word of God says, let every man be a liar in the word of God, the truth. So I'm not going to give you my word on that. I'm going to tell you, I don't know. I might. That's why Jesus said, Solomon said, to make sure you do that vow, but you might not be able to keep your vow. That's why Jesus said in Matthew, he says, again, you have heard that it had been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. That's what you heard, right? And it's in the Old Testament. Let me reiterate this a little bit. That's what Jesus said. Now, who are you going to believe? Jesus or what that says in Solomon? Well, maybe Jesus could make you understand that since you like grace. He says, but I say unto you, it's in red writing. He says, but I say unto you, swear not at all. Don't vow. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by his footstool. Neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. They were swearing by the temple. They thought God wouldn't destroy the temple. He destroyed the temple. I swear to God by my mother's grave or whatever. Well, that doesn't change anything. That doesn't make you so serious that you swear on a stack of Bibles. That doesn't appear. Jesus said, don't swear at all. Let your yea be yea, nay be nay. Well, if the Lord will, I do that. But I can't affirm what I'm going to do because he said, you can't make the head on you. He said, but swear neither swear by the head because thou cannot make one hair whiter or black. But let your communications be yea, yea, or nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than that coming of evil. So I said, I wanted to lose weight. I couldn't determine that. But I asked God, could I lose weight? And I'm depending and trusting on God to do that for me. But I can't do it myself because I might just eat something. I don't trust self. And when I attempt to do good, evil is right there with me. Right there. It's me. I want that. Nobody else. And if you don't get it, you have a way of blaming other people. I told you last week. Well, I know what's good for me and I need more carbs. I know what's good for me and my sugar. I have to keep it up. No, you just want that donut. Just say you want to eat that donut. Well, I know what's good for me, and I've been taking care of myself this long. Well, just say you're not going to pay your tithes. You don't have it. Isn't it better that you wanted the money, needed the money? Ananias and Sapphira, what did they do? They come right in the church and says, this is what we sold for. Peter asked him, said, was it for this price? Well, it was his. It was his own. In the book of Acts, the 5th chapter, he says, why you had it, was it? Acts, the 5th chapter. But a certain man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge and connivance, he kept back wrongfully appropriated some of the proceeds, bringing only a part and putting it at the apostles' feet. But Peter says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart that you should lie to an attempt to deceive the Holy Spirit? And should, in violation of your promise, it's your word, withdraw secretly and appropriate to your own self your own part of the price for the sale of the land. As long as it remained unsold, was it not still your own? And even after it was sold, was it not the money at your disposal and under your control? Why then is it that you proposed and purposed in your heart to do this thing? How could you have the heart to do such a deed? You have not simply lied to men, playing false and showing yourself utterly deceitful, but you've lied to God. And upon hearing these words, Ananias fell down and died, and a great dread and terror took possession of all who heard that. Came right in the church in line. That's why I told you tithes wasn't mandatory by this church, that it was something that I was going to hold your W-2 form. I'm standing by the collection plate saying, you got to put the offering and the tithe in there. That's between you and God. Because if something going wrong in your life, you may not tell me what you're doing wrong anyhow, but God knows. You know what the problem is. It's between you and God. And his wife was just as complicit in the same fact. He gave her a chance to opt out. She could have said, oh yeah, he told me to lie. And we did lie. But what happened? And the young man arose, wrapped up his body, and carried him out. Now after an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not having learned of what had happened, and said to Peter, Peter said to her, tell me, did you sell the land for so much? Yes, she said, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how could you two have agreed and conspired together to deceive the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, for the feet who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. And she instantly fell down at his feet and died. And the young men entering found her dead and carried her out beside her husband. See, because we have to declare the whole counsel of God. We have to tell it, this is why you're going to die. That's why preachers have to preach your funeral, that you did wrong in the church. That's why I said, if any among you sick, let him come to the elders and let them anoint him. But it didn't say go to some other church or go down to some tent and pray for healing. Or pray, because the reason you may not want to go to your church and be anointed is that the preacher, those elders, know you're lying. The reason you don't have any faith is because they know what life you've been living. And that's why that sickness has come upon you. That's why he says in taking of the Lord's Supper, he says, many of you sick, many of you asleep, because you're not being truthful with yourself. These things are coming upon you, and you still don't see that God's chastening you, and you're still rebelling and not coming clean. You need to come clean. He might have to take everything you've got. Father, mother, wife, children, finances. You may end up like Lot, nothing with the skin on the clothes on your back. You might just barely make it out because you're built with wood, hay, and stone. There was another man that his mouth got him in trouble. You remember the stranger that came to King David and had found Saul dead? And instead of saying he found him dead, it's in 1 Samuel, the 13th. The 2 Samuel, 1st chapter, verses 1 through 13. Whereas he came in and lied to David that Saul had asked him to kill him because the Amalekites had almost killed him, and he killed Saul. And then David ordered the men to kill him. He says, out of your own mouth you've received this. You said that you did that. You wasn't afraid to kill God's anointed. So he lied about that. And it was his own words that got him killed. Watch the words that you say. That mouth is an uncontrollable and an unruly evil. It'll set the whole course of nature on fire. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, or piously observant as these people thought they were, and does not bridle his tongue, he deludes his own self. His religion is worthless. Don't think that mouth is not the problem. And it takes a spirit, the Spirit of God, to control that mouth. That's why in James the 3rd chapter it said, let not many become teachers. Because they open to greater condemnation, because they can teach greater number of people to error and to do wrong. They'll cause more people to error by the things that they say, and they'll be damned to hell themselves and damn others. That's the blind leading the blind. You need discernment so that you wouldn't follow these people in their wrong. Now, Jeremiah was able to come to the people and tell them this. And this is how he told them in the 21st, in the 22nd verse of the 42nd chapter. He said, and I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God in anything that he sent me to tell you. You've not obeyed. He says, now therefore know for certainty that you shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, and in the place where you go in Egypt, you desire temporarily. Preachers have to tell you the whole word of God. Be careful what you ask for. Be aware of what you're asking for. If you want the truth, make sure you can handle the truth. Paul said, as he was about to leave, in the book of Acts, 20th chapter, he says, and now observe, I perceive that all of you among whom I've gone in and out proclaiming the kingdom will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify and protest to you on this day that I'm clean and innocent and not responsible for the blood of you, for any of you. For I've never shrank or kept back or fell short from preparing to you the whole purpose and plan of God. I'm giving y'all that. And that's what I try to do each service, each teaching service. Tell you everything God had told me. There may be things I see in your life that are happening that I can't tell you that I know about. There are some things God keeps back from me. But he's not keeping his word back from any of us. And if we would seek and search after God and his word, he won't let us down. He won't lose. We won't lose that hope. Though our world fall down among us and around us, you know why that's coming into your life. Job didn't understand why it was coming into his life. But believe me, as I stand here today telling you to examine yourself, in that God has placed life and death before you, you make the choice. Whether you're going to take up your cross and it's going to cause denial of self. And all the goals and objectives, he'll start planting in your mind. He'll plant in your mind dreams and desires that can be fulfilled because they are for him. But with that planting in your mind, it'll be a renewing. You have to lose all your hope. You have to lose all your aspirations. You have to deny those things you wanted. Those pleasures that you want to see happen. Those children that you want to see saved. All these things, and leave it up to God. Learn to let go of all these things and allow God to do what he's good at doing, and that is being sovereign over the whole world. He's in control. We have to learn to let go. We have to learn to trust and have faith in him. Though he destroy me, yet will I serve him. Yet will I serve him. I know what I'm asking for. When I go to prayer and I ask him, and sometimes I don't know what to ask for. And that's why the Spirit make it intercession for us, because we don't know what to pray for. That's why that Spirit make intercession. Ask God to pray through us. Ask God to live his life through us. It's Christ in us. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, humbling ourselves before you, asking you for your Spirit to lead us and guide us. Let us be led by the Spirit of God. Let us deny ourselves, Lord God. Let us overcome the old man, Lord God. Let us take heed to your word and become doers of that word. And walk therein, Lord God, and meditate in your word and be a strong and a good courage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.